Mick Coette is a Minneapolis-based documentary filmmaker who will screen his latest work at the Grand Murray Library on February 12th. He's on the phone with us now, live, to talk to us more about his latest work documenting the career of Frances Perkins, first woman cabinet secretary and Depression-era author of many of the social programs that we all count on today. Welcome, Mick.
Well, thank you. Good to be here.
Oh, thanks so much for making the time on a Friday evening when I'm sure that you would rather be doing something very hygge.
There's no place I'd rather be.
well, thank you. First, Mick, I just want to say you have had a very interesting evolution in your career. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are?
Sure. Well, the filmmaking began probably mid-90s, about 1996 maybe, and I started out by doing a couple associate producer films for a Court TV, which was a cable channel at the time. And then I did my first independent film on the Phyllis Wheatley House in Minneapolis, and then did two PBS films on Hubert Humphrey and Thurgood Marshall, which were national PBS films. And then this one. So, and each of them have taken anywhere from 5 to 10 years, so they're long projects. And this one started, I think, in probably 2011. So,
wow.
They've been on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
What inspired you to investigate and elaborate on Frances Perkins?
I think the first thing, I read that she was the first cabinet member, a woman, female cabinet member, and that really intrigued me. And then once I learned more about her and what she had done, I couldn't understand why nobody else had ever done this, because it's a wonderful story. And it's the story told itself. So it's a great story. That's what intrigued me, you know.
And I'm amazed when I look at your website at all the million, well, not millions, the many notable people that you have interviewed for the films that you've done.
Right.
So it takes you a long time to put all this together, doesn't it?
Yes, and a lot of it's, you know, raising money to produce one of these things, and then, yes, and doing the interviews, the travel and all the rest. It takes, like I said, it's taken 5 to 10 years for each film, and we've been lucky to meet a lot of people. But, you know, these are influential people that have done such great things through the course of history that they're admired by almost everybody. So it's pretty easy to get interviews sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, for example, she's really been truly, as you describe, an American hero of quiet courage who accomplished a lot to impact the lives of everyday Americans.
Yes, she did. And she's unknown. And sort of my MO, sort of the reason that I make these films is because as I look for people who are who have changed all of our lives, but nobody knows who they are. they're kind of lost to history.
Yeah.
And I try to bring them back. And she's changed so many lives, millions of lives, and nobody knows who she is for the most part. So that's kind of what my mission is. It's difficult sometimes, but it works eventually.
Sure, sure. How do you keep that dedication going, though, for that many years and working, say, on one project?
You have to be invested, and it has to be somebody that you really believe in and that you're willing to take the time. And it's difficult because these are expensive films, so raising money is always hard. If you're trying to raise money for somebody like, you know, John F. Kennedy or somebody famous, it's easier. But if you try to raise money for somebody like this, people don't know who she is, and you first have to convince them that this is someone they should invest in, and it's difficult. So the money raising is a big part of it, and that's the part that takes so much time. But you know, it has to be somebody that really inspires you, or you lose interest.
Of course,
over time.
Of course. Yeah. So what is for those of our listeners who are just curious about how one makes a documentary film, what is the process like for you doing your research and getting the interviews and putting things together?
You know, everyone does these things differently. My method is basically I build a library of interviews and of, you know, film and photos and audio tapes and all kinds of things. I build this huge library And then I just basically sit down and start editing from the library. But by the time I have that built, I have a pretty good understanding of the person, so it's kind of easy from that point on. I don't script write or anything like that, which is kind of unusual. But people all do it. Everyone does it differently. So for me, that's the way it works. And so we do interviews over maybe 3, 4, or 5 years, and then I do all the research during that time, and then I just sit down and edit it. And these days, you can do it yourself because of the way the computers work and the way the software works.
Sure, sure. Well, that's interesting. So kind of you get many different perspectives on the individual from talking to many other people, and that helps you to create the image of that person. So in the process of doing Frances Perkins, was there anything especially surprising to you that you found out about her?
Well, I think, everything was a surprise, really. I mean, I don't think anyone, most people don't know what she had done. And I was surprised by most everything. But one of the things that's really surprising is that her personal life was troubled. And her own personal life was something that most people would have to deal with all by itself. But she was also doing all these other incredible things while her life, her personal life was also it's a problem. She had a husband who had was bipolar. They didn't understand it at the time, and so they put him in an asylum, and he was in the hospital all the time. And so, as a young woman in the early 1900s, she had to support him in addition to everything she did.
Wow,
that's an amazing story, huh? Right. And I wasn't able to really spend enough time on that part of her life because it's a 1-hour film. So,
yeah.
But if you read the books, and I hear you had a book event there this last week, sounds like, for a good event on Kirsten Downey's book called The Woman Behind the New Deal. And if you get to the books, there's a lot more specific information on her personal life. But the point of these films is more to get the word out, and then you can do the reading in addition, because there's not enough time in one of these films to really get into the weeds with it. So
to learn more, at least, about the incredible accomplishments and the difference that an individual can make by just sort of sticking to it.
That's an important point.
So you're going to be here for the screening of the film at the Grand Marais Library next Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, do you have a North Shore connection, or did you just pick Grand Marais because you love snow?
No, I live in Stillwater, so we have snow too. But I've been coming up since I was a child, and I've always loved the North Shore. And actually, the three films, the PBS films, were written in Lutzen, thanks to Joan Drury, who's a good friend. And we were able to stay up on the North Shore, right on the lake. And nice. They finished all these films there. Actually, I wrote this one, I guess it was last summer and the summer before in Lutzen. So there's a great connection because it's such a great place to write, and be separated from the rest of the world and be able to sit in a room and write. It's beautiful on the lake. So that's a strong connection. And I listened to WTIP for years, so this is an honor.
Oh, hooray. We've got a listener who's on the radio right now. I love it. Hooray.
Yeah, it's great.
On a more personal level, looking at all the amazing people that you have interviewed and that you're willing to talk about having interviewed, how have these experiences over the decades of meeting with these amazing people, how have they affected you?
Wow. Well, they've deepened and enriched my life. There's no question. But I think that what I've learned is that, the bottom line is they're all people, and so many of them are good people. And when you have a chance to actually speak with them, they're very human and wonderful. Bill Moyers has been one of my favorites, and President Carter we interviewed, which was he's a hero of mine. So, but basically. The persona is with so many of the people that make history. The persona is often very much as who they are. You don't see that sometimes with celebrities, but the people I've met have been very much like you would expect them to be. And I think that's been heartening for me, and also it allows me to feel not feel threatened or you know, afraid to interview people anymore. I'm pretty much understand what I'm up against, and it's usually turns out to be a wonderful experience. So the trick with it is just getting through to them. You know, there's so many people asking for them.
Sure.
That's the hardest part. But once you're in a room with them, people are, I mean, Nancy Pelosi was wonderful, you know, and had her grandkids with her.
Oh, what fun.
So, yeah.
Certainly it's humanizes somebody, doesn't it?
It does. And she's in this film. So.
Wow.
Yeah. And David Brooks. Yeah.
And now this,
that's been fun.
This film will be on PBS coming sometime soon, right?
March 5th, it's released to 250 stations from all over the country, from Hawaii to Alaska and from, you know, both coasts and all over, basically every state. But it's going to be shown at different times in different places.
Okay.
You know, it's not a scheduled time. And most of it will be in March, because March is Women's History Month. And that's why we're releasing it now. So, yeah.
Great timing.
So it's coming. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And for those of us who are nearby, we can see it before anybody else on February
12th
at 5:30.
Absolutely. Yes, that's right. Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to that, too. It's going to be fun. And people have been asking me if we'll talk afterwards, and absolutely, I'll answer questions and talk to anybody that wants to stick around talk about it.
And now once it sounds like this project is basically done, so, you know, we're a curious crowd here. We want to know what's next for you.
I'm considering a film on a guy named Miles Horton, who had a school in Tennessee called the Highlander Folk School, and some people will recognize it. Basically, it was a labor activist school, an interracial labor activist school in the Jim Crow South, and he got, you know, they tried to kill him, and they shut it down, and they burned it down. It's still going, by the way, but he turned it in eventually from a labor activist school. It became a civil rights school. And Martin Luther King was there. Rosa Parks was there. Eleanor Roosevelt. Pete Seeger wrote a lot of the civil rights songs there. It was kind of the home of the voting rights movement.
Wow.
It's just an amazing place. Another place that nobody knows about that changed life. So
yeah.
That's what I'm considering. But, you know, there's a long way to go at this end of the project. I know how long it takes now.
Yeah.
And so if anybody's interested in investing, you know where to find me.
and seriously now, where can people find out more information about you and your work?
At the website at www.southhillfilms.com. It's all one word, southhillfilms.com.
Okay. All right.
That's where I am.
We have had the pleasure of speaking with Mick Coette, who will be debuting his latest film about Frances Perkins, Depression-era author of The New Deal and First Woman Cabinet Secretary. He'll be here debuting the film February 12th at 5:30 at Grand Marais Library. And Mick, do you have anything else you'd like to share with us this evening?
No, except it'll be good to see my friends on the North Shore. I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Have a safe journey here.
Thank you.